We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're listening to Setting the Pace, your go-to Pacers podcast with Alex Golden and Michael Facci.
Miller for three. Oh, he banked it in. He banked it in. And the game is tied. We're going to overtime.
Warren lets it fly. Yes.
TJ Warren is not human.
Ranger catches, shoots for three to win it. He hits it.
To go. Brogdon for three.
Got it.
O'Neal drives on Yao. Puts it in.
Duarte for three.
Boom, baby.
Anthony attacks Hibbert. Denies him at the rim.
Caris LeVert, people don't realize how good he really is.
LeVert, skies high for the jam.
Stevenson passes into Sabonis for the basket.
Jackson turns, fires, and
hits. Oh, Miles Turner bringing that smoke.
Flips it to the big fella, fake shoots, and hits.
This is TJ McConnell, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to part two of the podcast. Here is a one-on-one conversation with Mike Facci and Zach Noble.
All right, everybody, we are back, and we are joined by the one and only Zach Noble, host of the Noble and Roos Show. Zach, what's going on?
You know, I just got done watching James Harden drop 28, and he's looking like the old Harden, man. He was grinding away in the garden. That was a blast of a first half. My favorite half of Harden all year, and absolutely a pleasure to watch finally. So I'm vibing right now.
Hey, Harden in the garden. You know, I mean, only a matter of time before he looks like his old self. You know, start of the year, it's been a little rough for him the last 2 years, but you can't keep a man like James Harden down. But I thought we'd talk a little bit about, you were in attendance for Pacers versus Timberwolves, a game that came down to the wire, actually a really good game. But I think it was probably a bit of a better game for you and the Timberwolves fans, would I say, because you squeaked out that win.
Yeah, man, it was a weird game overall. I mean, Pacers came out strong at the beginning, and it was one of those things where I thought with Miles out there, Cat should have just been on the block and eating right away, like old school 90s basketball, banging with Domas. Because we got down there in the first and second quarter, he was scoring at will, and then he just went back to his cat ways and just got pushed out pretty easily to the perimeter and took a lot of bad shots. And we weren't playing team ball. We looked like the 10 lost Timberwolves this year, where all of our losses come from no cohesion and a lot of stuff Indiana Pacers can relate to this year. No team chemistry and no ball movement. No, have no idea what the hell is going on. And so finally, we just got things rolling, and Cat decided he wasn't going to get out rebounded and get bullied around anymore by Sabonis, and got some help at the end. But man, there for a game that was just so all over the place and just sporadic, you can say, with the flow of the game, there was a lot of excitement. And I was on our end for the second half, where Ant put up those three monster dunks and a lot of big finishes down there. And it was a great second half by us. I mean, you guys just played solid in the first half, and you didn't even play great. But No Miles. I think if you had Miles, you would have won pretty easily, to be honest.
Yeah, I really feel like, you know, in what was a two-point game in the box score, and it was really like a four-point game, but Keelan Martin snuck in a basket right at the end. But, you know, the first half really looked like it was going the Pacers' way. They shoot 48%. They lead by nine. Second half, they end up shooting sub 30%. I mean, a bunch more turnovers. The Pacers led by 12 at one point. But, Zach, I really feel like it came down to, obviously, that third quarter, you know, the Pacers go cold. Four of 20. Yeah. But the last few minutes, the Timberwolves stole the momentum. I mean, you talked about those Anthony Edwards dunks. It was the steals. It was going the other way. Edwards on a fast break, really getting the crowd into it. And then what was even rougher was you saw the Pacers kind of implode. They got really frustrated. I mean, Chris Duarte truly never got over that no call at the buzzer in the third quarter, and it dragged into the fourth. He ends up getting ejected. I mean, at that point, man, the Pacers, they were just trying to fight off that crowd, and the Timberwolves, they didn't look back. I know it was tight, but the Timberwolves, you know, they kept their foot on the gas and they kept that lead. But I had a question for you. In the stadium, I mean, you're watching the game. Did Sabonis's monster stat line of 16 points, 25 rebounds, 10 assists look like as monster as it was, or did the only 12 shots by Sabonis kind of make that stat line a little bit more quiet than it should have been?
That was exactly what I was going to get to next. And to be honest, I mean, that's a great question. I truly believe he looked dominant on the glass in the first half. It was 16-4, him versus Cat. And that was the whole story of the first half, pretty plain and simple. But everything he kicked out, it's not like he was dominating him scoring. I mean, but he's a great passer and the hockey assist guy like no other. Yep. But that was the story of the first half, pretty plain and simple, is just him dominating Cat's ass the whole time. And it was pathetic. And I just can just vision our fans right now and hear it. And that's what I'm going to remember from this game, is the three loudest fans in the world just harping on Cat, get your ass in the block, box him out, do something, you, and just, profane. I thought I was in Philadelphia, man. Yep, old school. Yep. Indiana. Like, Minnesota Nice was not present last night. For a guy that's been really hard on Cat and little sympathy, I've never heard him get it that bad. And they were on him all night. And back to Sabonis' stat line. Yeah, I mean, sure, he could have been more aggressive scoring-wise, but I didn't think the ball movement was terrible, and I think he did the right thing with the ball in the first half. I just think he needed to be more assertive in the second half. I agree. In the third quarter, that's where the Timberwolves won, because Anthony Edwards just went off and super Syrian, you can say, and just put his cape on and basically covered up all of Cat's flaws by falling out, even though Cat had 18 in that quarter as well. Yep. Which is pretty crazy. I think Cat's stat line was honestly more quiet than Sabonis's, because just the physicality and how dominant Sabonis was in the first half. But yeah, the points were quiet for sure.
Yeah, they were. And the problem is, it's 12 shots, which A, is not enough, but B, four of them were threes and he missed all four of them. So you're talking about 5 of 8 just inside the perimeter. That's not enough. It really feel like Sabonis probably could have, you know, gotten a few more shots up, got 7 free throw attempts. So that's nice. But just the stat line, I mean, it's been tweeted out. A lot of Pacer Nation's already talked about it. His triple-double involving 25 rebounds has only been done 2 other times. Shaquille O'Neal and the dream himself, Hakeem Olajuwon. Gotta love him. It's the first triple-double with 25 rebounds and 10 assists. So, you know, gotta love that. But at the same point, when you catch a loss, you don't want to be promoting the stat too much, because the name of the game is to win, not put up stats. But,
I'll tell you this. Yep. It was closer to Jokic than Andre Drummond.
I can live with, because Drummond, you know, he's got those empty stats out there. So, it showed when he went to the Lakers, and, you know, it just didn't seem like the same guy when he needed him. But, you know, you talked about Anthony Edwards. Look, from an NBA fan standpoint, I love me some Anthony Edwards. I feel like so entertaining. The one thing that worried me, and I feel like he's shaking this, is when he was going in the draft, you know, there was those rumblings. Does he really truly love basketball? And you know what? I haven't heard that since. And I really like that.
No, for sure. That was the big question mark. And I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I was a little bit worried about it too. And he dropped that like a fly. I mean, 2 months into the season, you saw his ambition and just his love for the game. And just because the dude is smiling while he's burying you in the ground night after night, it's like, I love that. You know, if you can kill people with a smile, why not? Like,
that is fun out there.
It is the most fun I've ever had. I mean, outside of Kevin Garnett in Minnesota. Oh, yeah. And I just hope it continues. I mean, the only concern I have for him, honestly, his playmaking is getting better nightly. Passing is a little question mark. He doesn't know when to make the right pass or whatnot. But I blame a lot of his teammates for that, to be honest. I think he can be a really good hockey assist guy and a good first lead passer, you can say. But the big concern I have for him right now is just his shot taking. He's not sure when to shoot certain shots, and he just takes a lot of bad shots. But I want my young guys to do that. I'd rather have them take a bunch of terrible shots than be really sporadic, taking 5 attempts one night, 20 attempts another night. And it's just take bad shots all the time and work out the kinks and get better at nightly. And that's what he's doing. So I really love the guy.
It's true, and I really feel like last year he finished the season really strong. I mean, you saw him dropping 40 points and stuff like that. Started, you know, his rookie year pretty slow. People were, you know, a little bit worried, but that should be what's expected of a rookie. But nowadays, you know, we're hard on them. But
did you notice his hand though last night? He's got a bad hand right now, and I think that really impacted him. The dude literally missed 3 or 4 layups.
Yeah,
and they were critical layups, and I thought that's like Indiana's taking a lead here and there, but we managed.
Timberwolves definitely did, you know, shank a few layups over there. I thought at times, you know, that's what kept us in the game a bit.
Right.
But you know, one guy that I felt like, you know, he played well, but it doesn't translate for the team. Malcolm Brogdon last night, 25 points. However, the Pacers now fell to 3-8 on the season when he puts up 20 or more shots. I feel like, unfortunately, the Pacers are asking too much of Malcolm Brogdon, trying to ask him to be the best player on the team or the second best player on the team.
Yeah.
From a non-Pacer, you know, fan base standpoint, how does, you know, the NBA community view Malcolm Brogdon?
You know, yeah, you're right. He's definitely being asked to be the number one, number two guy mostly every night. And the way Indiana's set up, man, like it's just got to be a cohesive unit, which that's the problem with the team. It's not what they need to be. And that it's plain and simple. They need to be the Atlanta Hawks of 2014, the San Antonio Spurs of 2013 through 15. Where it's just a balanced attack. There should be, I mean, it's Sabonis, if anything, should be the number one more often than others, but I really don't even think it needs to be that. I think they need such a balanced attack, and these guys should be able to fit each other, but it's not there. It's not there, and I don't think it's going to be, unfortunately, especially after the conversations I've been having recently, and it's concerning because I do like the guys in theory. I think their personalities should mesh. I think they have the roles you need to make one of those teams that I just brought up. More so the Atlanta Hawks than the Spurs, having the all-time talent and Tim Duncan and Kawhi Leonard. But the same style of play is what I'm getting at there. So, yeah, it's very concerning. Malcolm Brogdon needs to be a third option at best.
I agree.
He can be a second option maybe if – you got a top five player, but
exactly. we don't have right now.
You're right. Oh, if there's only 5 of them, man, 25 teams aren't going to have them. So good luck. And Indiana is not a team that's going to tank for Paulo or what's the hashtag right now? I don't even know. it's going to take me a minute to think of that one.
For Paulo? I don't know if you're talking about Chet Holmgren or not, or other guys that are,
Chet the bed for Chet.
Chet for Chet. Yeah. I mean, he seems like the kind of guy that, the stereotypical, white big man type of player that you could see in Indiana, but, I don't know, man. He's got to put a little bit more size on, but I'm sure eventually he'll get it going. But for right now, I mean, it's a pivotal point where the Pacers are at in the crossroads. We're 23 games in. TJ Warren has not played in nearly a calendar year, but the front office, they have been set on is envisioning this starting five together, which might never happen because always someone's hurt. Do you think that it's time? Are you leaning towards maybe this team's got to blow it up? Or is it, look, you brought in Rick Carlisle to write the shit, give him more time, maybe make a minor move or two. Which direction do you think the Pacers are going?
So if I didn't just talk to Miles Turner, I'd say I trust Rick and they're going to write this shit, but don't read me like I'm saying Miles is not fully engaged and isn't there and that he thinks this team is nothing, because he doesn't think that at all. But my read is this coach isn't going to fix it. There's no coach that's going to fix it. It's the core. And these guys have played enough games with each other, in my estimation. Yes, Caris LeVert's a huge part of it. He can impact this team. It's going to matter. And Chris Duarte is only getting better. But at the end of the day, three of those five pieces right there have played together more than enough. And the two main ones that have the most trade value, Sabonis and Turner, they've played together as much as any of them. We know what it is. We know you got to swing for the fences. You got to take the trade value when it's there. Their trade value, I think, is at their peaks right now. I think both of them are. And to be honest, you got to move one of them. That's where I'm at. I think they can definitely make the playoffs, even finish like a 5 seed, 6 seed. But like, who wants that? I mean, it's fun making the playoffs year after year, but at some point, you got to just max out when you got something to max out on, and you do. You can get a return back. You got to see what's out there. And, I mean, obviously, if there's nothing in return, you got to figure it out and try to make moves on the margins, lower at the end. And because LeVert's value is definitely less than Duarte. I mean, I'd say the value goes – Sabonis, Turner, very equal, maybe lean towards Sabonis. And then Malcolm Brogdon, definitely not moving Duarte. It's not even the options. No. I mean, he's a piece. And here's the thing. Duarte is going to fit with absolutely anyone.
He will.
That's the great news. That's the great news. And it's sad because I like the personalities. I think they like each other. But at the same time, it's not a love. It's not a I'm going to do everything it takes to make this work type of thing.
You know, and you're right there. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, the way that the Pacers front office views TJ Warren, I mean, you would think this is like Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard coming back from injury. This is not someone who's going to save the day. Yeah. I love me some TJ Warren. Good player. The last time we saw him, Bubble Warren, it was an experience. I mean, Pacer fans love that time. They look back on it fondly. But we don't know if he's the same player. And then you talked about Caris LeVert. This does not look like the LeVert of last year. That back injury clearly is not healed. Malcolm Brogdon just re-upped. You cannot trade him this year. So you look at the bigs. It's been better this year with Turner and Sabonis. It really has. Their plus-minus is definitely better than it's been in the past when they're both on the court. However, you've seen enough to know – you know what? Maybe being different is not the answer. And maybe it's more of a, we're different because no one else wants to have two bigs in the lineup at all times like that. So it's tough, but I feel like they really want to see that starting five together. Hopefully it happens and we'll get our answer. Maybe, you know, after a month, hopefully they'll know that by the deadline, look, either we got to make a move or we're just going even further with this. But you talked about making the playoffs, how it's fun. It's fun, but once you go on about 20 or 30 years of just making the playoffs, eventually you got to blow it up. And one quick thing, I just want to touch on the actual picks that the Pacers have had in the lottery. Throw some names at you. 10th overall, Paul George. 11th overall, Miles Turner. 13th overall, Chris Duarte. Those are pieces you can work with. when you're finishing around 18th overall, that's when you're looking at Goga Bitadze. When you're looking at, you know, yeah, your TJ Leafs of the NBA, that's when he starts to get a little sketch. So every now and then you got to hit the reset. And Zach, this is the closest fans have been in years to saying, just blow it up.
But is it really blowing it up if you're just moving one of those five pieces? It's not.
It's not. Like, it's not.
But it's a huge deal, yes. But the reason why I say it too, and I tend to push back on the whole too big thing, because do I think Miles Turner and Cat could be amazing together? Absolutely. And I'd absolutely love it. I've been wanting it forever. But I also think, because you saw Sabonis push Cat out to the perimeter, and that's at a lower level. That's every night, man. Cat, I mean, Cat lives out there. He's not Sabonis down low. I mean, he never will be. So the spacing would be so much better. But I truly think Sabonis and Turner, well, you've mentioned it, they fit way better together this year. They're making it work. But the talent level, at the end of the day, the talent level will never be there, be enough to exceed the fit. Because the fit isn't perfect. It's not. I mean, and if the talent doesn't exceed the fit has to be perfect. And that's the problem in Minnesota, too. And I've been saying it forever, is like, Cat needs everything to be perfect around him. And we're getting really, really lucky right now that Vanderbilt is looking like that perfect fit next to him, Mr. All Defense, if he keeps this up.
Good.
Nobody really saw that coming outside a couple Minnesota fans. But even then, we didn't think he'd be an all defense type guy. We just thought he'd be maybe he's good for 10 to 20 minutes and plug and play type guy. So yeah, I mean, TJ Warren's value's not there yet, so you gotta keep on him. Can't trade Brogdon, so it's got to be one of the bigs. At the end of the day, that's got to be what happens. And then if you don't get the return you want, it's got to fit just perfect. If you're not going to get like an upside swing.
Yeah. I mean, here's how you look at it. Sabonis is, you know, the more accomplished player between Sabonis and Miles Turner. He's a two-time All-Star. He's a guy that's going to put up bigger stat lines. And, you know, maybe you could, you know, build your team. Now, I shouldn't say build your team around him, but you could go through him on more of a nightly basis than you can Turner. But I feel that Miles Turner fits more teams' needs. The three, you know, being able to hit threes, being able to block shots. If Turner can do this, if he can finish at three blocks per game and continue where he's at and shoot over 40% from three, no player has ever done that before. So that would be pretty interesting. And, that's something that every team could look for. I mean, there's so many teams out there that just cannot protect the rim. And Turner, he's the undisputed block guy in the NBA. He really is. And I think this would be a great transition to talk about the recent interview that you had on your show, the Noble and Roos Show. You had Miles Turner on. I love the interview. Tell us about how cool of an experience it was. And Zach, I got to say, Miles was quite revealing.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
No, I appreciate that. And yeah, on so many different levels. And it was honestly 270 shows in now that I've done in my podcasting career. He definitely cracks my top five favorites. Awesome. It was just that open, and it was great. Just felt like a friend going back and forth. And I hope that's what it felt like to the listeners out there. But to me, the biggest takeaway, honestly, is after everything him and Indiana have kind of been through, I mean, through his injuries, through the different coaching carousel, and whatever last year was with Bjorken, just he feels like a more grateful guy. He understands what he has to do on a nightly basis, the mindset he has to have, and you can just tell on the court too. He's bringing it more consistently, and it's cool. His actions reflect his words. But the thing that I mean, one thing play style wise, because he did talk a lot of X's and O's too. TJ McConnell being his guy, and yeah, I mean, I'm sure all Indiana fans know that that's the best combo that you have, honestly, probably with McConnell Turner, or maybe it's McConnell and Sabonis at times, but McConnell just is an engine that makes it work for a lot of guys. But it just proved TJ McConnell's worth, and I loved hearing that as well. But yeah, I mean, so many great things. What were your biggest takeaways?
Well, I thought that it was definitely very telling when he talked about basically how Nate Bjorkgren was hardcore against any mid-range jumpers to the point where Brogdon had to stand up for himself, and that they would go back and forth on that. But I love that about Brogdon. He stayed true to his game and, you know, really refused to just kind of just fit into whatever Nate Bjorkgren wanted. But also Turner talked about how he loved playing in Bjorkgren's defensive scheme because they would kind of filter everything into him to clean up. So I'm sure he did really like, you know, being able to, you know, get those blocks up. Really, if Miles had stayed healthy, I think he does make that all defensive second team last year. Also, absolutely, one of the things that you never really hear is how honest he was about Rick Barnes at Texas, saying he's like, I'm going to be honest, I really didn't like him. You know, basically, he might not have used those exact words, but, you know, he didn't sugarcoat it. And usually a lot of people sugarcoat it and they're like, hey, you know, we might not have seen eye for eye, but I got a lot of respect for him, and they keep it moving on. No, he let him know. He was like, man, I had to get out of there. I had to go, like, because he was going to turn me into something that I did not want to be, basically saying that Barnes just viewed him as like LaMarcus Aldridge 2.0.
Oh, dude. Just imagine him at Kansas. I think about it almost daily since he came on. Oh, man. He said he loved it there, and that probably would have been his next choice, and that would have been pretty awesome. But, hey, that's sports in general. Should have, would have, could have. But I think things worked out just fine for him. Just weird that pushing on the whole LaMarcus Aldridge thing, and it's like, let somebody be their own person. It's like, players hate comparisons in general. I couldn't imagine how aggravating that is. And like anytime you ask a player, who'd you like growing up or who do you model your game after? No, I don't really model it after anybody, but I like this. And more younger guys just say that nonstop now. It's the answer isn't, I picked this all from this guy, I want to be this guy. It's, which you heard that a while back, I feel like, where everybody wanted to be the next Kobe Bryant or KG or whatever. And I mean, now it's just like I pick some things from this guy. I like his mentality, and I'm just trying to be one of one, trying to be unique.
Exactly. That's what it takes. And, you know, not everybody, just like you mentioned, not everybody can be Steph Curry. You could take something from Curry, but not everybody just has that. I mean, that's Curry's, like, you know, the chosen shooter. He's been that way, you know, since he was a child. So you got to be able to make your own game and use the best of that.
It was shocking to hear, though, that Malcolm Brogdon was getting into it quite often with Bjorken as well. I just don't feel like Malcolm has it in him. But, hey, I love hearing the fire.
You'd say that, but there was rumors that Brogdon had it in a little bit with him and Budenholzer, and then, you know, didn't work out with Bjorken. So when we brought in Rick Carlisle, it was like, okay, if Brogdon has it with one more coach, it might be Brogdon. So luckily, you know, we're only 23 games in, but he seems to be enjoying playing under Carlisle. And obviously, you know, he re-signed, you know, re-upped his contract. So that's great. But what would you say was maybe your biggest takeaway or like the number one thing from that interview where you're like, wow, you know, maybe I wasn't expecting that, or that was really interesting?
Like I said, the gratitude would be a big one, and just understanding the mindset he needs to have. And you can tell, I mean, just how frustrated, I mean, it is. And he wants to win so bad, and he'd love to win in Indiana, and he likes it there. He's grateful to be there. But just he blocks out all the outside noise, and he just gets to work. But at the end of the day, I think the rotations really matter. You got to stick with a coach for a while, but I'd try to get more going with him and TJ. And if they're having a tough time being a cohesive unit with that main starting five, spread it out. I mean, you got enough talent to stagger minutes. And I think that might need to be, if you're not finding the trade you want, I mean, you're going to have to stagger minutes in order to make this playoff run work. Why not? I mean, it just feels like to me that they're trying to beat home this starting five, and then Warren coming back. And I don't know. I think they just got to mix things up, because I truly, like I said earlier, is this group doesn't seem like they love each other and will do anything for each other. I feel like they respect each other. It's a business relationship. They like each other enough, but it's the talent doesn't exceed the fit. And so therefore you have to love each other. You need a little Will Ferrell and semi-pro going on, and needs to come in. And, but it could be a tough go for Indiana here. And it sucks, because I do like the personalities and I do like the dudes, and I truly think they respect each other, but it'll be interesting to see what happens here.
No, they all do respect each other. Just the problem is with some of them is I think a lot of them are too nice of guys, and I do think they need a little bit of a dog in there, someone that could really, you know, be that true vocal leader. They have guys like, you know, like they mentioned, like Miles Turner talked about it, how like Domas really leads with his play on the court, you know. Brogdon's not going to be like the loudest one, you know, really getting everybody, you know, fired up. He's more, you know, calm and collected. But, you know, one thing that I thought was really interesting, and, you know, for Miles Turner to give you that interview and to be that revealing, is you have to almost look back a couple of years ago when Miles was struggling, you know, on the court, and fans were really giving it to him. I mean, he had times where he logged off social media for extended periods of times, and, you know, you weren't hearing any interviews from him. So it shows that he's in a great headspace right now. The confidence is high on and off the court, and it was evident in that interview. So, you know, just awesome stuff for you guys. Now I think we'd kind of shift over a little bit to what's going on in the Eastern Conference. Zach, I don't know if you could have predicted this. I don't know if anyone could have predicted this. You see the Brooklyn Nets at number one. Okay, not that big of a surprise. But without Kyrie Irving, interesting. Then you go down, you see the Chicago Bulls. I mean, the Bulls, a team that haven't made the playoffs the last few years, all of a sudden, it's like you're wondering if they can, you know, stick it out. The Washington Wizards have been in that upper top four now for a while. I mean, what's been the biggest surprise for you so far in the East?
Yeah, so to me, it would probably be Indiana is up there. Like, for me, I don't get surprised by team success, really, very rarely in the NBA, to be honest. It's more about the failures, and Toronto and Indiana. But then again, I mean, Toronto hasn't had Siakam for a lot of the time, and he's their best player, in my opinion. So that doesn't really surprise me there. Boston's been without Jaylen Brown, but even then, Jason Tatum is arguably my biggest sadness or my biggest surprised because I had his back all offseason, talking him up to be a top 10 guy, taking the leap this year to be a top 7, almost being in the top 5 type conversation. I thought he'd be there, but we got a long season to go. There's 80 games left. I truly think Indiana can definitely get up into that sixth seed if they want, if they're willing to work hard enough for it. We'll see if they are. I mean, they got to, it's going to be a lot of grinding wins. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's, it's going to be ugly. And it's apparent. I mean, the Wolves are a very similar team. We are very, very similar on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yep.
We might just have a little higher end talent, which I believe we do. You guys,
yep,
just
you do.
More diverse and
yeah, they're more of a Pacers, more of a balance. Their ideal situation, like when you mentioned about the Spurs and the Hawks, the Pacers front office envisions 5 guys scoring, you know, around 15 points per game.
Yep.
That's really what they envision to be, like, quote, like perfect ideal Pacer basketball. While you guys have between, you know, Cat and Anthony Edwards, two, you know, superstar, you know, guys. I mean, D'Angelo Russell is no slouch himself. I mean, a real good player, actually leading the NBA in clutch scoring right now. So, you know, you have that big three. That big three combined for 74 of the 100 points that you scored against the Pacers. So, I mean, that's a major difference right over here. But when you look at the East, the top 11 teams are at least with a winning record at 11-10. So it shows the East is stacked right now. In the West, I mean, the top 7 teams are at least 500. You got the Lakers at 11-11, but LeBron's going to be out for what's believed to be the next 10 days or so. So it's been really interesting, you know, the first 23 or so games of the NBA. You know, we're going to have to wait and see how things shake out. I thought you made a good point of maybe more focused on who's struggling, like Boston is one of those teams. Then all of a sudden you have the Cavaliers are still treading water. They're at 11-10. And then you got the 76ers. Who knows what's going to happen with them? They're 11-10. They're occupying the 8th seed right now. Still no word on what's going to happen with Ben Simmons. So it's been fun this year. I mean, we got a great showdown as we're recording tonight. I mean, the Warriors and the Suns are facing off. So a lot of great things going on in the NBA. But, Zach, before we sign off, you got an awesome interview that you just finished about a day or so ago with James Worthy. Would love to have you shed some light on that.
Yeah, thanks. James Worthy, man. Wow. It was just surreal looking at the guy and talking to him for an hour. It's a legend. And Roosh is talking about it was his dad's favorite player growing up. So thinking about something like that is just cool and surreal to think about. But he's just such an optimistic guy, and being able to talk about the current Lakers and where they're at and how Twitter just sits there and overreacts, but just sheds such an optimistic light on things, but also really gets into the X's and O's a bit of saying where Russell needs to change and how Anthony Davis needs to adjust a little bit. But then we talk about who his GOAT is a little bit and where Bird and Magic lie all time. And he played with MJ at North Carolina. Then he played with Kareem most of his career. So it was awesome. I'm a historian, so that type of stuff really gets me going. And I really like getting into the all-time conversation. And we went pretty deep there. And yeah, he's just a fun and interesting guy and really loves Kareem.
Hey,
that's my spoiler. I don't blame him.
I would say who doesn't, but more people need to, because Kareem was an absolute legend. You can't be the all-time leading scorer and not be absolutely unbelievable. Just, I feel like this youth is very sucked into the just LeBron versus Jordan debate and not including Kareem as much as he should be included. I know my co-host Alex is a huge Kareem fan. He thinks that he should get some more respect when we've talked about the GOAT conversation. But,
absolutely.
You know, as we wrap up over here, tell everybody where they could find you on social media and just, you know, to subscribe and listen to your podcast.
Appreciate it. Just on Twitter, ZAKNOBLE, and then all over Ball Is Life now, Noble and Roosh Show, Noble, and then Roosh, R-O-O-S-H. Yeah, just got a bunch of great interviews coming out and hopefully keep growing this thing. It's been a lot of fun. Me and Roosh have been almost 60 episodes now, so we're making some headway there and having a lot of fun doing it.
Hey, awesome. Zach, I appreciate it. I look forward to, you know, having you back on in the near future. I believe this may be your third appearance on Setting the Pace. Maybe four. I don't know, but you're a great recurring guest of ours.
Well, I appreciate it. And I cherish my friendship with you both, and always like coming on, chopping it up, and hope West Virginia turns around a little bit, man. And that sucks seeing them down, because I do like Huggy squealing on the sideline a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, for the listeners, we have this on video. Zach shows up in his Kansas shirt. I got on my West Virginia shirt. We've talked, you know, we did not plan this, but the rivalry between those teams, it's real. So I respect it. Zach, appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
Later, man.
All right, Fauci. So how was your interview there with Zach Noble?
Pretty good. Always fun catching up with Zach. Guys, I highly recommend that you check out the interview that he did with Miles Turner. I mean, yeah. It was really good. The Noble and Roos show. He's always got some great interviews. I know he just had James Worthy on the other day. And plus, you know, he was there in person, you know, at the game the other night against the Timberwolves. So, you know, always great to have a firsthand view. So, hey, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Ball is Life is where Zach Noble's podcast is at. So if you guys are fans of Ball is Life, you've probably heard of it before. But Fauci, all right, we start a 6-game home stretch here against the Atlanta Hawks. So, you know, it's a good time for the Pacers to get back on the winning track, especially if they're going to make any push to be a play-in tournament team at this point. So where can the people find us at on social media?
All right. So you can find us on Twitter at SettingThePace3. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I can be found on Twitter at _FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at Pacers Talk. You can find us on Facebook at Setting the Pace. And you can find us on TikTok. Setting the Pace.
And if you're tired of losing so many close games and you want this team to get back on the winning track, say these three words.
Let's go, Pacers!
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.